Welcome to the Tradies in Business podcast with your hosts, Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Divert your phone and grab a brew as Waz and Nick unpack tips, tales, secrets and stuff-ups from guests both inside and outside your trade, helping educate and inspire you to break the cycle of gut-busting and money stress and create a true trade business.
So we've got another real tradie guys episode for you today. Welcome to the show, listeners. G'day, Coxie.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm a little croaky.
Good. Yeah, it's coming back. It's coming back.
Slowly, slowly.
So hopefully you don't give it to me.
I'm trying hard not to.
I always sound terrible when I sound like one of those sleazy, like, chat line dudes when I've got...
1-300.
Yeah, yeah. So, we're chatting to a guy that I've known for a while. He is a franchise owner. He's not really a builder because he doesn't actually build the houses, but he's a builder. He's got his ticket and everything.
He's a builder?
Yeah, he's a builder. Is there a distinction, Coxie?
Like if you
don't swing the hammer and do the work, are you still a builder?
Technically, you're a builder. I'm going to leave it at that.
I've just offended a whole bunch of builders.
I think you might have.
But whatever the trade is, you know, if I've got a plumbing business and I've got six guys working for me and I don't do any plumbing, am I still a plumber?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's like if a tree falls in the forest and nobody hears it.
As long as the butterfly's wings are flapping, we're all good.
Righto. Wojtek's going to love that. So, Wojtek is the franchise owner of GJ Gardner Gympie, up on, Noosa North, just north of the sunny coast in Queensland, and they're an award-winning franchise within GJ Gardner's. He's been doing it for a whole bunch of years, and Wojtek has a very interesting story, actually.
He does have a great story. It's different to anything else we've had.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
You know, escaped a communist country and came to Australia and made a better life. And, you know, it's that sort of quintessential, to use his words, WOG story. Mm. Some fascinating tips in there and just lessons as well. I think for anybody in any trade, you don't have to be a builder.
No.
There's some really good stuff in there.
Actually, there's some great tips on how to work with a builder.
Yeah.
For subbies.
Yeah. If you want to get more work from builders, Wojtek's your man. So he basically gives you the formula for how to get builder work in your trade business if you're a painter or a plumber or tiler or whatever. So definitely well worth the listen. And the other thing you could do if you're looking for ideas on how to improve your trade business, go join the free Tradies in Business group on Facebook.
We have a lot of fun in there.
Yeah, it's a really cool group. We love our community of tradies.
We do.
And there's some fantastic questions being asked. There's an awesome level of support from your fellow tradies in business. Mm-hmm. Coxie and I hang out in there as well and try and answer as many questions as we possibly can in 30 minutes or less every day. But we're in there every day. And we've got some companies that support tradies in business that provide some useful content and stuff in there as well. And it is all completely free.
Mm-hmm.
Just like this podcast. So if you like the podcast and you're not in the group, go do it now. Go to Facebook groups and just search Tradies in Business and tell all your mates and your girlfriends to jump in there as well.
Absolutely. Enjoy the episode.
So we're joined today by Wojtek Steinwald, and I'm probably not saying that properly, but I'll let him correct me in a second. So he is GJ Gardner Gympie. For those of you who don't know where Gympie is, it's a little bit north of the beautiful Sunshine Coast. So it's really close to Noosa.
I like to call it north of Noosa.
North of Noosa, yeah. Noosa North. You should rename it Noosa North. So welcome to the show, Wojtek.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well. And we've got an improving Coxie. She's getting over the lurgy.
I don't have the croaky voice anymore. As I say that, it gets a bit croaky.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, Wojtek, good to be talking to you today, mate. I'm excited about some of the stuff that you're going to dig into today. But before we jump into, I guess, the messages you want to share with our listeners, mate, tell our listeners, who the heck are you and how did you come to be sitting in your Raptor out the front of your house?
Oh, look, every story has got a journey. my parents, obviously, you know, we grew up in the communist country. They've escaped. We shuffled through several countries to get to Australia finally. When I got here, school wasn't for me. I just did not sort of get on with the teachers or the students, really. Went straight into become a apprentice as a mechanic. So, yeah, my dad was a mechanic, so I thought I'll do the same. But I did a couple of weeks work as labouring for a mate that was doing drywall plastering. And in those 2 weeks, I earned more than the bloody qualified mechanic. So I thought, something's wrong with this picture, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I'm very sort of always like to say that I think logically. So, you know, if I've got to study 4 years and earn less than a labourer on the job site, something's wrong with this picture. Mm. So finished the apprenticeship, jumped straight into labouring, drywall, plastering, and sort of when that's how I got into the building industry. Didn't take long, obviously, to realize that I didn't like working for people, just like I didn't like studying and listening to teachers.
Love it.
There's a theme developing here, Wojtek.
It is, mate, it is. My wife will tell you I don't like being told what to do. So that's why I'm in this position. But, you know, went on from there contracting, you know, and one of the things you do in the industry, you know, when you try to get through the ranks is, you know, you form friendships, relationships. One of the things that I sort of live by and work by is you never burn your bridges.
Mm.
You never know when you're going to have to cross that bridge again. Mm. Yeah. So, and I had to many times eat the humble pie and go backwards. But you surround yourself by people that are like-minded.
Mm.
You know, they'll inspire you. You know, when times are tough all the time, everybody's got a different, yeah, period in their lives or whatever, and you end up sort of leaning on them, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Mm. Even though you might know everything, or you think so, but they'll just give you that one little bit of inspiration and drive to say, nah, I am on the right path.
Mm.
This is what I want to be doing. So from then on, went on to another trade, solid plastering quickly. You know, not to put that industry down, but that's just extremely simple trade to learn.
Yeah.
Took me only 3 months to master, and within probably 12 months, I had 50 guys working for me. So, but I've always wanted to be a builder. So problem with that is, you got to do 4-year carpentry and then do your supervision.
Back to school, mate. Yep.
Yep, exactly. So probably I got offered a franchise when I was in my late 30s. I didn't have a license. I had a nominee that came on board with me.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the end, I had to bite the bullet and had to do some paperwork and I had to study a little. They say you get wise as you get older.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, mate.
Apparently.
Not more responsible, though.
No. So that's how I got into the building industry. And, you know, I was up front with QBCC. I said, look, mate, I've never swung a hammer on the frame. I wouldn't even know how to stand the frame up. But I think that by that stage, they realized that carpenters don't make good businessmen. You know, it's no different than a great salesperson will not make a good sales manager.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a big difference between that.
Mm.
So, and that's basically it. That's been 10 years now in GJ, which is, you know, it's an awesome corporation. They look after their own. There's so much that, you know, they expose you to and teach you. It's just amazing. Something that if I had to start from scratch on my own, I reckon it would have taken me at least 20 years to what I've learned in the first 5 years.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's a really good point, mate. So I'm curious, Wojtek, just going back to your personal story, mate, which country did you or were you born in and that your parents came from?
Well, I'm from Poland. So, growing up, obviously, to me was was a normal life.
Mm.
It's only that I came to Australia and realised how many snowflakes you guys have here.
I know
complaining about the dumbest things ever. Look, yeah, I love it here. I do have a lot of arguments with Maya and kind people here that whinge and complain. I'm always telling them, well, go back home, you idiot. Yeah. Growing up was, like I say, it was so different because there's no entrepreneurial in my country that I could witness because it was communist. So it was owned by the government. You were dictated. And you were policed by the government and the police, you know, of what you were doing. So
yeah. And how old were you when your parents left and came to Australia, mate?
Mate, I was 12 when they woke me up at 3 a.m. and threw me in the car and jumped the border.
Wow.
Must have been terrifying.
No, well, see, that's what my wife says as well, but you don't know the other life.
Yeah.
You know, growing up as a kid, my mum used to do a lot of, you know, she had, we had curfews, obviously, being, you know, several times in like a civil war and stuff like that. So,
yep.
You know, you caught outside a certain hour, you get arrested or, you know, potentially shot. And I was her lookout since I was 8 years old. So, you know, that's just life, you know. Mm. If you don't, we didn't have commercials in our TV. So we don't know what the other side of the planet's doing.
Yeah.
You know, yep. So how do you know that you're supposed to be terrified?
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah, no reference point, mate. So,
love.
It's probably an obvious question, and I can't let it go begging. Is, you know, no doubt that early part of your upbringing has influenced how you run your business now, how you see life, money, all that sort of stuff. Do you see it that way, Wojtek? Do you sort of reference your childhood in business now? I mean, you talked about the snowflakes here in Australia, and I'd have to agree, mate. I'm surprised it's not snowing all year. But you know, are there particular things that you see in yourself now as a business owner and a leader that sort of come from that time, you know, and that experience up to being 12?
About 100%. And look, I mean, we all seen in the big cities, you know, the wogs are always pushing hard and working hard hours, you know, and we've got the businesses and restaurants and, you know, you just to name a few, but.
Yep.
When you look back at the history of the country, my country was occupied for decades from either Germany or the Russians or the Turks.
Yep.
So we've got in our blood to fight.
Mm.
That's the way we are, you know, and that's pushing through, you know. Business is no different, mate. You know, everybody wants to start a business. You know, they say 80% of business fails in the first 5 years. It's true.
Mm.
I've done it. I failed. But what makes the difference between the success of your business is that it's like climbing a mountain. You are nearly there to see the views. You just don't know how many more steps before you get to see that view.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people quit beforehand. They're just not equipped mentally to push past that peak.
Mm.
And that's the difference between success and failure.
Because
everybody can be successful.
I wonder if you've found it challenging finding the right staff to match your strong attitude.
Gee, that's another whole podcast.
How long have you got, Ted?
Look, it's every office and staff, you know, there's going to be someone they clash, you know. I'm quite, I don't know if I would say liberal with my stuff, but it's, I've got a, key people in positions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I recognize what they're good at. I don't police my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They don't clock in, they don't clock out. If they want a half a day off, I don't really care as long as they do what I want them to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they fall behind the work or I start getting one complaint or two, then we have a sit down. They know the line in the sand. They know how I operate. My office is very lighthearted. We joke around, quite big on practical jokes, but they know the line.
Mm.
I've employed people in the past where they've actually taken that over the line, and honestly, it takes me only 3 minutes to sack them. So, and everybody knows, you know, sooner or later, within, you know, 2-3 years, you sift through the shit.
Yeah.
And you end up with a decent people.
Mm.
But it is hard. It is very hard to find someone that sort of clicks in with your mentality and you know how you want to be heading. So
how do you manage your own I guess, maybe frustration levels or patience, Wojtek? You know, if other people aren't as direct as you and moving at the same pace as you and have the same ideas as you, how have you actually, I guess, managed your own attitude around those sorts of challenges?
Are you referring to my staff or in general?
Probably just in general, mate. You know, you would come across people who, I mean, given your background, you have a perspective on life that would be probably useful for a lot of people to have an aspect of, but sadly most of us, you know, we grew up in very fortunate, privileged lives. We haven't known hardship growing up. We've not known hardship in our jobs. And then we, you know, go work for someone like you, and it's like, what the hell's going on with this guy?
Yeah, it's amazing because you see young people when they come to my place and, you know, and they see, yeah, I'm 47, so, you know, I've got a few things, yeah, a couple of cars, yeah, whatever, bikes, boats. And, yeah, they go, you're lucky, yeah. And, yeah, it's taken me 35 years to become an overnight success, you know.
That's right.
Yeah, not to mention that, yeah, for last, well, not last 4 years, but the 12 years before that, my wife was critically ill. She spent 6-7 months a year in the hospital. So I was a single dad running a business as well. So look, it's, you change, you know, when things happen to you, you change how you look at things. I was very driven before 30, before wife got really ill. You know, I wanted this, I want to become that, this big, you know, king on the coast. And then when that happens, you sort of put in perspective what matters. So it does sort of levels you out. I suppose how I manage those people and myself, I always look at worst case scenario. So when I go into a deal or if I, you know, start a new venture or buy a house, I always go, what is the worst thing that can happen? And that's how I've taught my kids. I said, so I lose everything. What do I have? My wife and the kids. Well, I haven't lost everything. So, you know, you can be focused on making money. It's like sales, you know. You get a salesperson in my office when I'm training and they focus on making a commission, for example. They are so focused, they're driving that person away. They don't realize that if you make a friend, you don't have to make a sale. There's a big difference. And there's same rules apply to being a contractor when you're trying to win the jobs from the builders or running your business. If you make friends and invest into those relationships, you will never have to look for another job again. So
I totally agree.
Can be their own, yeah, people can be their own worst enemy sometimes.
Absolutely.
We're only talking about this earlier today, weren't we, Warwick? We were discussing how crucial those relationships are to guaranteeing that work. You know, a subbie with some great relationships with builders never has to look for work. The work's being handed to them because they've invested that time into those relationships. It's a crucial part of, look, in any business, I don't care what business or what relationship it is, creating a relationship and a connection is the key to moving forward in the direction you want to move. So whether it be for your clients that are looking to have their dream home built, they need to have a connection with you or your sales team or whoever is at the face of that project so that they can understand that that job's going to be delivered the way they would like it to be delivered. Those connections are the basis of everything.
You're pulling on people's emotions. You know, I mean, it's a very big investment they do. One example is, I think 5 years ago now, I wasn't sure whether to start advertising on the radio, and I did. Started doing some live reads on Zinc. Now, it didn't take me long to work it out that I needed to wine and dine the two guys that are reading my ads because they're a bit of like robots. And I didn't want to sound like every other idiot on that station. So, I formed over the next couple of years a great relationship. We're good mates now. You know, we've been holidaying together and stuff. And honestly, when you listen to them doing live reads, someone else and versus mine, chalk and cheese.
Yeah.
I'd pay three times the amount for them to do that that way. They've actually had people come in and from other businesses and saying, we want the same that Wojtek has. and the managers, they go, you can't. That's just impossible.
That's a one-off.
Yeah. So, right. You know, like, it's all about forming relationships. You know, don't underestimate that. It's honestly, if, you know, if you're thinking, looking at a builder like it's, you know, here's your meal ticket, you're not going to last long.
No.
You know, you have to, you know, if you say to yourself, look, I can't afford to take a Friday off to go play golf with him or invite him to here and there, or, well, mate, can you afford to lose his work?
Absolutely. That's right.
And I actually had a conversation with one of my clients yesterday about builders, and there's this really persistent idea that you builders have all got it really sweet, and you know, you're a mob of assholes that just make the subtrades lives difficult, and you don't pay your bills and all that sort of crap, right? And my dad was a builder, but he was back in the day before sort of the bigger builders, you know, where a builder might have been lucky to do 3 homes a year, but it's still been persistent since then. And I said to my guys, like, mate, I wouldn't be a builder for quids these days, because the amount of risk they carry, the amount of responsibility that they're shouldered with, the complexity of their business, the financial burden of, you know, paying for all of the materials on these projects often before you even get your progress drawers, and the amount of management that you have to have in place, massive. It's huge.
Look, most of my subbies have been with me probably last 8 to 10 years. Some of them, my plumber, for example, most recent one, he, you know, when he started, he just looked, he was a single guy. I knew he had quality about him. I liked his attitude. And he goes, look, I can't handle your work. You got too much on. And I said, well, why is that? He goes, well, you know, I just can't do all these slabs for you. So I actually taught him how to look at business. So I set him down. I said, how about we just look at a slab at a time rather than at 40? Now he's got new trucks running. He's got a few guys going on. You know, he puts in 40, 60 grand a fortnight in of invoices. So he's gone from someone that done 5,000 a fortnight to that. And, and I, you know, you ask him now, how's that any different to what you were doing before? He goes, well, I just didn't see this. I just couldn't see past that.
Yeah.
You know, so... to grow your business, you got to do it slowly. You always have to remember cash is king. Most people and subbies, and I do this all the time, hey, I'm the biggest corporate. I can't save money or shit. I honestly really, even to today, it's I've always had this attitude called arrogance, but if I need more, I make more.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
My wife said to me, we need to go on a budget and we need to save. I go, I hate that word.
Just go so, make some more sales, mate.
You just got to make more sales and, you know, grow your business. But look, I have to agree that the traditional saying of, you know, cash is king, it is. Mm. Having a great cash flow will have no stress on your family life, even if the downturn happens.
Yep.
So build that up first. Mm. 100% I believe in that. And, you know, you can have an outstanding business model, you know. Combine that with, you know, your relationship with the builders you're working for currently, offer something different. You know, subbies are just interested in going in, doing the work, and then getting paid.
Mm.
And don't forget also that, you know, when you do work for the builders, it's like what I explained to my subbies, think about it this way. I spend the money in advertising. I spend the time selling it. I do everything. All you do is a purchase order and turn up to work and make money. How easy is that shit?
Coxie was saying this morning, mate. She's like, we do all the bloody work to get the clients in the first place.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. There's no brainer. So when you next time you complain on site, something's out of the box, just shut the hell up and
absolutely.
Do the job, mate.
Absolutely.
Now, Wojtek, you mentioned outstanding businesses, mate. I just wanted to talk about, so you own the GJ Gardner Gympie franchise.
Yep.
And you have done for a while, mate. Now, you've won at least one award within the group.
Oh, look, there's several,
Well, give us a list, mate. Don't be shy.
No, I wouldn't even remember most of them. look, awards are, I don't know, I don't think much of them, to be honest. All right, we do them because they're a great marketing tool.
Mm.
Great, yep.
I don't get my ego stroked by those things. I just want to, my passion always has been to build homes for people.
Mm-hmm.
And every house I sell and build, I treat it like my own. So it's, it's not about the money. Yes, okay, we enjoy what it does for you.
Yeah. The money's a side effect, really.
Yeah, it is. For me, it's the challenge. If I stop being challenged, my brain will just die. And yeah, even now, obviously being 10 years in the industry, I'm always looking for side gigs that I get myself into it because it can get a bit stale. Wife hates it. you know, it's, you know, as simple as, mate, going to Grays Online auctions. Like, I bid on cars that, you know, obviously I'm into cars, as you know, and I bid on cars just to flip them. Like, you know, little Rodeo Ute I bought recently, $1,000, had a little ticking noise in the engine, bought it, fixed it, and made $3,000 on it.
Mm-hmm.
Do I need it? No, I don't, but I just like the thrill of it.
Yeah.
It's that doing, you know, something, so, with your hands too, mate.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's diversity, you know. You need that in the business as well. You can't just be focused on one thing. And when I say diversity, it's, if you're going to do all your jobs for a builder that's low-end building, when the staff times happen, like right now, you will suffer a massive blow to your business. You have to have a pie where you go, a quarter of my business goes to the cheap-end homes, quarter goes to second, third home buyers, and then I want to do some top-end stuff. Yes, it bogs your cash flow down by doing the top-end stuff, but it gives you diversity in the industry. Okay.
Yep.
So if you have a look at builders that, you know, I've got quite a few mates that do, you know, 150, 200 homes a year, they are down 67% at the moment to 70% on sales.
Yep.
Now that's a massive hit to a business when you're running five supervisors. They're down to two supervisors now. You know, it's, you got to be smart. You know, you can't just have blinkers on.
Wojtek, I'm curious, you know, you talk about like flipping cars because you enjoy it. With the business at the level that it's at now, you would spend a very small proportion of your time, I imagine, on the tools, mate. Is that a fair observation?
I've never been on the tools in my business.
So, but you've come from that background of being a tradesman, you know, drywall, all that sort of stuff. Has it been challenging at all to not be a tradesman and be in a trade business where you're sort of letting other people do the hands-on work?
Oh, look, you know, there's certainly been times where I'd look back and go, ah, crap, I'd rather be on the tools and just look at the wall in front of me than have all these other fires you've got to put out, I suppose. I mean, you know, one thing you don't realize once you start dealing with clients, it's a different world out there, and you just don't realize how many of them are born without a brain.
So true.
It's you know, so,
to all the clients listening. Anyone who wants to build with gardeners,
if they're listening, they know who I'm talking about. look, it's I enjoy working with my hands. Okay, now obviously you've got to look into the future, and my business has got great stuff. I'm sort of, I don't work Fridays anymore. I'm sort of working towards over the next year or two to just be within the business of 3 days a week. And, yeah, just enjoy life a little bit more. I think as a rule, not when you start a business, but as a rule, as you know, we started the boardroom meeting. I've started the boardroom meeting for self-employed people. Purely and simply, once a month, if you can't take a day off, to do what you love to recharge your batteries, you'll burn out. We all can do 7 days a week, and I've done it for 12 months straight once just to catch up. But you have to come to a point in life where you tell your partner, wife, whoever, Friday once a month is I do whatever I want to do. If that means sitting in front of a TV and smoking a cigar, drinking scotch all day long, do it. It means riding bikes like we did, or doing it, you're not doing it anymore.
No. I woke up to myself, mate. I got sick of breaking bones.
Yeah, I'm getting that too. But, you know, like it's riding trail bikes through the bush, I found it was the only thing that, only time I didn't think about work.
Yeah.
I'm always thinking about what's the next ad, what's the next promotion I got to do, how I grow my business. You know, it's a bit of a problem that I have in my head. I can't stop thinking. It's a highway of ideas. But and riding the bike through the bush was just absolutely, you know, bliss. My wife was always confused. You come home absolutely stuffed, bruised and battered. I said, yeah, but my brain is so relaxed.
You got to destroy your body to get that mental release, mate.
Yes, well.
I think it's similar for a lot of men, actually. Blokes really need to go have that man time. And sadly, you know, to reference some of your language earlier, Wojtek, I think the snowflake syndrome that seems to have emerged in recent years, men aren't necessarily encouraged to go do man things. Whether that's right. Smoking cigars or riding motorbikes, or
you got to find what works for you. You know, it could be fishing, it could be walking, running, or you know, whatever. But you do need that time. If you don't make that time right now, you'll be forced to take a lot more time off later because you'll have a breakdown or you're mentally unable to process the stresses in your business.
That's right.
You know, you have to recharge those batteries, and you know, if the wife's gives you shit about it, and just tell her, sweetheart, how do you feel about me lying in the bed rocking? And you have to do everything.
That's right.
So, you know.
Yep.
I think that the women often forget that they need that time as well. And
100%.
Because we're so busy putting everyone else before ourselves, we don't take it. And sometimes, in fact, quite frequently, by the man in the relationship taking that time for themselves, it puts the woman in the position, well, okay, I'm going to take some time for myself now. And suddenly, not only is there a personal benefit, but there's a benefit for your relationship and a benefit for your family. It's crucial.
I encourage my wife. I encourage my wife all the time. I've always, you know, having three sons, motorbikes and everything else, and I said, look, I'm taking the boys for the whole day, just do whatever you want. Yeah, if you need to go out with, you know, with girlfriends during the night, it never worries me. Yeah. Whenever you want, you take time out, you know.
Yeah It's great.
It goes both ways, definitely. Yeah. Does.
Yeah, you're right.
Because let's face it, I wouldn't want to be stuck at home all day with three kids.
That's not fun.
That's why you spend so much time in the business, eh? So now, Wojtek, I know you're passionate about sales and you've talked about it a couple of times in the episode, and you kind of clued me up before we spoke today that it was definitely an area you wanted to share some thoughts on. Mate, how important is, I guess, that sales focus or you know, just the understanding and appreciation of sales in any business, any trade business?
Look, I've been obviously blessed with the gift of the gab, as you know, without even realizing running my own business beforehand. You know, you have to recognize your strengths and your weaknesses in business. You really do. I recognized, you know, early in my days, accounting, black magic. Don't touch it. Okay, I don't even understand it today. I just look at the P&L and that's it. And when the accountant starts talking, I just say, mate, you know what I need to see. Don't tell me the other crap. But to be able to move your business and grow your business, if you're great on site and you're an awesome tradesman, but you're struggling to win the jobs with the builders, it might be you. Look at yourself. Sometimes you're better off employing someone in your business. It might cost you 70 grand or whatever a year. Maybe you can do a deal with them. Say, look, I'll put you on from 40, 50 and give them a commission base or profit percentage. That's up to you how you do it. Salespeople need motivation to grow the business within your business. So if you, for example, say, look, I'll give you 70 grand, that's it. They'll have no motivation. That's not a salesperson. Mm-hmm. That's just an order taker. You have to be able to approach builders from a different angle. Now, I get approached by a lot of contractors for work, and you know, they'll just walk in, here's my resume, got any work? I'm like, oh, yeah, see you later, mate. It doesn't grab me, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Persistence is a key as well. You know, like I said, building relationships. If you're unable, you know, don't have the personality to build a relationship with builders or walking into someone's office and you feel uncomfortable, you know, doing the call or, you know, I always, and this is just me, I always favor people to walk into my office rather than ring the office. If you send a resume or an email, mate, it's just a delete button for me. I don't even open them.
Yeah.
Purely and simply, I get, you know, 200-300 emails a day. Half of them has got to be deleted. So, you know, if someone stands in front of me and it's taken their time, I respect that. Maybe I'm old-fashioned, I don't know. you know, so sales, it's yeah, like I say, you know, you've got to be able to recognize whether you have got the ability to sell yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you'll know. People know, you know, does talking to builders directly or selling yourself makes you feel uncomfortable? If it does, well, that's not for you. You mm-hmm. need to look at someone else that can do this for you. You might be a great business person. Like, you know, you could be running the show, you know, like, I don't know, like a Swiss clock or something, you know, but you just can't sell. And if you can't sell, how are you going to grow your business?
Mm.
I always tell everyone, every staff member in my office, my salespeople are king. Mm. Okay. When they start whinging about him or they're not doing something right, I said, he's selling, she's selling. If they don't sell, you don't have a job, mate.
Mm.
So rather than bitching and complaining, you will support them 100%. If they say jump, you'll just say how high.
Mm.
That's it.
Mm.
I don't have a business without my salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
So my office managers, estimators, color consultants, admins, they don't have a job without salespeople. Yeah. It's as simple as that. It's a key factor that drives every business.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you've got two subbies or three subbies on your team or, you know, it doesn't matter. If you want to grow a business, you have to recognize that sales are it.
So, Wojtek, what about the reluctance and the pushback that people have, that business owners have about being salesy? You know, they don't want to be pushy salespeople and you know, because consumers are switched off by all of that. How do you strike that balance?
Like I said earlier, it's about building relationships. If you don't want to be pushy, just be a normal person. Pretend you're talking to a mate. When someone comes into my office and asks about a price for a house, we sit down and I said, look, I can give you price on every single home I've got here, but how about we talk about your family? How about we see what your family needs before I give you a price?
Mm.
You know, so I guarantee you they have not been spoken. They might have been seeing another three builders that have not been asked those questions before.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yep. It's a simple process.
Yep.
Sometimes you can ask questions and guide them. You know, everyone comes and asks for the most expensive house. You know, say budget $300,000, they want the one that's $500,000.
Mm.
You just don't say, listen, mate, you know, you can't afford that. That's just something you don't do.
Mm.
There are questions you can ask that you work with them backwards to that $300,000 home, and they love it every single time.
Yep. So do you believe in sales techniques, Wojtek? Like I went
100%.
Through... 100%.
Yeah, okay. 100%, okay. Mate.
Because I went through sales training years ago when I was a rep. And to be honest, I still use a lot of it now because it's just based on how to actually make business friends with people, really.
A lot of people don't. Like if you're good at, like if you know certain basics, like for example, you know, and this doesn't apply to everyone. In my office, the first thing I teach my salespeople is gathering information. If you don't have contact details, you can't follow up. So a lot of people will ring up and they'll say, you know, no, I don't want to give you any information right now. I just want a price. Mm-hmm. You know, that only comes from the fact that they've already been to some dickhead builder. They've been trying to shove that house down their throat and they're already on the offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
So when a phone call comes in, the first thing is my salespeople will say, you know, they welcome them. Thank you for contacting me. Next thing they do before they ask them what they want is they just simply say, look, do you mind if I just take your phone number, name and phone number down just in case I lose you or the phone drops out so I can call you back? That person hasn't got a chance to think about what just happened and the name and number has been given to us.
Mm. Yeah.
Yep. That's it.
Yep.
You know, now we're in control of the situation. Second thing is, you know, we try to get them sit in front of us.
Yeah.
Okay. Purely and simply because most of the time people look at floor plans, they don't realize I can modify them or have that suited to their family lifestyle. So, you know, we get a little bit personal with them and we invite them to come and see us. Mm. Purely and simply, you know, whether we've got a special or not, some people balk at it, but, you know, you keep working. Sooner or later, it's like an icebreaker. You've got to find something that clicks with that person and you.
Mm.
So you've got to wear a lot of hats as a salesperson.
Mm.
This is why I say not every personality can sell. You know, you've got to be able to adjust, adopt on the spot. Sometimes within 5-10 seconds, you got to think quick.
yeah.
So once we get them in front of us, it's a fairly easy sailing, you know. And I'm not saying we don't lose sales because we don't gel, 100%. But yeah, we try to eliminate that as much as we can.
Mm. How much data do you keep on your sales and sales win-loss ratios and all that sort of stuff, Wojtek?
Look, we track our leads, inquiries, where they come from. 1 year I spent about $80,000 on advertising. The following year I spent $40,000 and I made double the sales. So it's a very big difference. You know, you need to know where your sales are coming from. People will say, oh, I just heard you on the radio. No, what about before that? Oh, I did see an ad on Facebook. Yep. So you kind of, you got to dig deep with some people. You know, some people go, oh, I just walked past your office. I'm like, well, no, you didn't. Something drove you there subconsciously. They don't even know. Yeah. And then you find out, oh, look, I heard the guys on Zinc pay you out and so it's funny and, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I quite often go into a shop in Kawana. There's a marine shop there, and the guy, first thing, I gave him my name, I bought something, goes, oh, you're the poor bastard that these guys pay out all the time. Yeah. But it makes great advertising, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep.
So.
Because, yeah, I mean.
Obviously, this day and of age, all the websites are being tracked and you see how many clicks and back and forth, you know. So digital is definitely by far the best. People that do advertising in newspaper, I think you might as well just burn your money and watch it light up.
Yep.
It's a waste of money completely. Spend that on Facebook, social media, you know, do lighthearted stuff. Don't always do promotions. It's not about specials for people. It's about brand recognition. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you are like an electrician, you know, you hang a nice light or something, take a photo. Mm. Hey, look, this client's just hung this. How awesome is this? You know, but that's it. Doesn't have to be anything specific. You know, it's that simple.
Mm.
It's not rocket science. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
It just comes back to making that connection again. That's exactly what you do with social media.
It's making that connection. Mm. You know what I mean? I mean, people sit on the phones all day long, you know, and click and they see something pop up. And, yeah, having a great website helps, obviously. Mm. That's something that I didn't have to worry about when I started off. I just had to worry about my Nokia phone that was the size of a brick. how was going to get that in the car? And
yeah, that's right. When you could charge it in 7 minutes because it'd be flat.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you got to adjust with the times, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yep. So, Wojtek, part of Cox's and my mission here at Tradies in Business is literally preventing tradie business fails, because it is such a precursor to so many of the relationship and mental health issues in this country, is just that business stress that people find themselves in. And so we really want to go back to the source of the problems, and so much of it is, you know, as you've languaged with people, just not getting the business stuff right. So the question I've got for you, mate, is what do you think we all need to do, or our listeners need to do, to prevent tradie business failures?
Oh, basically, look, mate, I've done it to myself so many times, probably four times through my career, where I've just stuffed my cash flow up big time. Mm-hmm. Even on the, we've just built our year and a half ago, our final house. I blew the budget big time. Yeah, stuffed that up. But look, in saying that, had to be done. Well, probably didn't. I just wanted it. I've destroyed the cash flow in the business. That is number one factor, mate. I mean, honestly, if you look at everything, I mean, yeah, I'm lucky enough because I've got quite a few investment properties. So, restoring, it's not an issue. But for some that don't have something to lean back on, when you start a business and run a business, and, you know, don't increase your lifestyle with your income. Have a really good buffer of your cash flow. There's nothing worse than the financial stress on anybody. If you go back to the source of why men and women, your depression in the industry, it's the financial stress. I mean, you know, we all proud people.
Mm.
Anyone that runs a business, you've got to have a very high sense of proudness about.
Yep.
So if you can't provide for the family or the mortgage, that is the number one stress. If you ask everyone, you know, through your podcast and go, look, if you were to inject $1 million into your cash flow right now, what would make you stress?
Yeah.
Well, it's not enough work because you've got cash flow.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've got time to get the work. It's only when people live from day to day is when they start stressing, when the work drops off, because you don't have the cash flow to support all your loans and all your toys and everything else. And, you know, like I said, I've done it before, and I had to go back at the humble pie, sell everything and start again many times. Still haven't learned, obviously, but
the lessons have more zeros on the end.
My sons, like I said, my sons, the way I'm teaching them is the only loan in life you get is for your house.
Yeah.
So if you can't afford to pay cash, you don't buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my boys, they 22, 21 and 18 nearly, they all got saving account now for the first home. Mm-hmm. By the time they're 24, 5, they will buy the first house on their own. I'm not giving them a step up in any way. If anything, my son's a carpenter second year now and he's working for someone else.
Mm.
Yep.
I just, I don't believe in that. I want him to learn his own way, not my way.
Mm.
Yep.
And they are a lot smarter than I am already. So.
I could say something really derogatory, Wojtek, but I'll...
Thanks, mate.
I'll keep this suitable for public viewing. So, mate, you talk about those business failures. Do you think they're actually an important part of business success?
You know, I do. I really do. There are people, obviously, that... are patient and smart, and they've got a strategy that they will just go every year, grow slow and slow.
Mm.
Patience not my virtue. I just want it to happen quick, and when you grow quick, you fall quick. So everyone will have a different idea, but I do believe that tough times will sort of teach you and sort of make you who you are in that business. Mm. You can't be. I'm not going to mention names, but I've seen people were given a massive business when they were just a single sabi, and they've gone into office of 15 people and big multi-million dollar contracts. They only lasted 3 years.
Mm.
You can't skip the steps.
No.
You got to take every single step to the top. If you skipping the steps, you will fall on your face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's part of learning. It's why we crawl before we walk. It's as simple as that.
Mm.
Good advice, mate. So I'm going to guess that Coxie's bowing out here with a croaky voice because <Just kidding. laughs> I'm doing all the talking, which is not unusual. Sorry. Wojtek, if people want to find out more about you or your franchise, so GJ Garden and Gympie, mate, what's the best place for them to do that?
Look, the franchising, obviously there's a website. National website and stuff. The franchising, it's they're extremely hard to come by, obviously. They are very, very popular and very successful systems. In saying that, if the builders are listening and they want to grow their business, it's simple as sales. You have to have the right team. If you've got the right team, then you need the right supervisor, and it just goes down from there, and the right estimator. But that is the process. You need the right sales. You know, if you're sitting there with your wife in the office and your wife's telling, no, I can do all the sales, and you look at her and you go, really? Just be open. I've been always honest with my wife, love her to death, greatest woman that ever lived, but I can't work with her.
And I'm sure she couldn't work with you either, Wojtek.
No, we honestly, if we were to work together in the business, she's so talented at what she does, but I just, can't do it.
It's good advice, mate. That might be the most valuable tip you've shared in this episode, Wojtek. Awesome. Well, look, mate, it's been awesome chatting to you on the podcast. I've wanted to get you on the show for a while. Appreciate your time, mate, sitting in your driveway like some weird stalker in your Raptor. And
that's all good, mate.
Mate, might see you out on an adventure bike someday soon.
Certainly. Thanks guys, for having me. Eh?
Thank you very much.
Cheers, mate.
You've been listening to the Tradies and Business podcast with Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Find out more about today's guest, tools for your trade business, and other cool stuff at tradiesandbusiness.com.au.